About Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. See, we know about Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Obviously, as we learn halacha, we'll get into more into the world of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But based on what we gleaned up until now, I also want to try and clarify one or two. I'm not going to get involved in Shishim Ribo because we haven't really spent too much time on Shishim Ribo.
We'll discuss that during.
You learn halachas, you know. So we'll see the bare halachas. We'll talk about that. Obviously that's a major issue which needs to be clarified. It has tremendous hafkamin as the halacha, but we're not going to talk about that. So the Shulchan Aruch, when he puts down the halachas of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so he gives us a sif. Sif Zayin, Shimim Hei Sif Zayin, Ezer Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Rechavis Ushvakim, Rechavim Tez Zayinama, Veda Mekar. So, Rechavis and Shvakim, so we know there's roads, there's Shvakim, which will translate as some type of a marketplace, for now, which are 16 amos wide. They don't have a roof. So far, the more 16 amos wide is the more than Tzadites. They shouldn't have a roof, is the more than Dafei. Rechavis and Shvakim, as we have the Bryce Suratia Platia, is in Dafo. And he says, "Ve'ein lehem chaimo." Phil Yesh lehem chaimo. Ve'ein mefulashim mishar l'shar. So this phrase over here, "Ein lehem chaimo," is a challenging phrase. Hash is the phrase which the Shulchan Aruch writes was taken from the tour. So the tour says, "Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, who are rechavis ushvakim rechavim sheish esriyamo, al sheish esriyamo, mufaloshim mishar l'shar, v'shishim riba avrimpay." So here he says, "Filiyesh mechavim mehem mufaloshim mishar l'shar." So the Torah did not differentiate between with a wall, without a wall. The Torah said a blanket statement of Mufaloshim Mishar L'Shar. The Shulchan Aruch came along and made this qualification. Where did this qualification come from? So the Beis Yosef on Mufaloshim, says Bereish Evan, he quotes the Rashi. And he quotes Rashi, "Ve'ir shemetziyim bo samach riboy, ve'ein bo chaimo." It doesn't have a wall. Shehoyu Rosh Hashanah Rabbim shelo mechubim mishar l'shar. Shem a foolish, demo dig the midbar. Okay. So it says it doesn't have a wall. Or it's Rosh Hashanah Rabbim was mechubim mishar l'shar. Which that's his din of the tour of Mufulish. But the way it's presented in the Rashi, with the Beis Yosef quotes, it's two different things. Hence, the Shulchan Aruch has the two separate cases.
Does the city without a wall tend to have shar?
We can still have an access point into the town, you know, where most people enter into the town. There's a road still, even though there's potentially a lot of other access points.
It's a little bit of a rem, is that it might be talking about a wall, otherwise it wouldn't. With shar, it's a gate.
So now,
called Knisa Leir or something.
So, like that. So Rashi. Seems to give you two cases. They just quote it. The Torah doesn't mention any. Doesn't give me this whole second madrega. No mention of the Rashi. You saw the Rashi in here. But Rashi, that word O is in parentheses. The question is where that parentheses come from. One question. Second question. The Rashi, as we we have the Rashi written, and the Rashi way it's quoted in the Beis Yosef. It's also quoted in the Rosh like that. It says Ve'ein Bo Chaim. The ear, which is, has some kriboy, and it doesn't have a wall. Or if the Rishis Rabin was mechuben mishal l'shar. She have a foolish dumb little delay midpoint. Fine. The Shulchan Aruch, when he brings the halacha down, he says, "A rechavim is a shvakim, a rechavim tezayinam, vein and mekarvim, vein lohem chayma." He didn't mention the city yet, so the shusarabim. So he's talking about a wall around the shusarabim. Bafilu yesh them chayma. So the shusarabim can't have a wall, and even if the shusarabim has a wall, if they are mefulish mishar l'shar, the shusarabim. So that's a whole totally different reading, the way the Shulchan Aruch puts it down, then we have the Rashi. Okay? You hear the difference? You hear the difference between the reading of the Shulchan Aruch and the reading of the Beis Yosef and the reading of the Rashi. The Rashi, it seems to be referring back to the city. Ve'ein bo achayma is referring back to the city. It's referring to the city. The Shusham of it, meaning of the city, is Mechum Mishal Lashar. So it's referencing to the, referring to the city. Shulchan presents it. Rechayim is a shvakim. Rechayim says, "I know, but ain't a mekarim, but ain't lahem chayim."
Which
sif zayin? Shimim heisif.
I don't know about everybody else. For me, it's
okay. So Bear Garla says, and this is Rashi. Right? Okay. Okay. So that seems to be a very significant point over here.
Rashi's putting Sarti and Palti together. That's what it sounds like, right? That's also, not Rashi, but the Mechaber is putting Sarti and Palti together, no?
Yes.
So like, I don't understand, Rabbi was Masber, what he means by that?
We're getting there.
Okay, fine.
Comes the guy. Fascinating guy. And he does like this. So you don't have the draw inside. I'm just going to read you the draw. So he starts off, he says like this. What's Rosh Hashanah? So it has to be six anamas wide, Sadi Tesamana. Can't be Makara, gives you Gemara, Sadi Tesamana. Vein Lehem Chaima, Zeo Seratia. Birgro. Afil Yesh Lehem Chaima, Zeo Platia. Koshakosa Be Ervin, Devabama Beis, Yushalayim, Imbole. It sends it to Gemara in Ervin. That he adds in Hema Fulasha Mishar Lashar. Okay. So now we know that the source of the Mechlosh Mishar Mishar, which we're familiar with, right, is a Rashi involved in Aleph, a Rashi involved in Beis, an Eir. Right. The guy Nebuch did not know that Rashi.
The first one is
Rosh Hashanah. Bein Lam
Chayma Zel Okay.
Fili Yesh Lehem Zel Platzer.
Okay. And
Imheim, he says like this. I didn't say what he says yet. He says, Shom the Testament Beis. Listen to the Testament Beis. So instead of sending to the Rashi and the Vav, which was the source which the Beis Yosef himself said is where he got this in him of Philosophy, he sends you to the Testament Beis. He tells you, Ein Shem Rashi, Dibi Maskel Ve'ein Lo. So it says, Ve'ein Lo, El Pesach Echad, V'lam Mefula Shasi, V'ladam L'Dilei Midbar. Right? So the case over here was, you need to have a city which only has one, different city, a city which has two entrances, a city which has one entrance. So a city only has one point, which is the entrance and the same exits. So even though it belongs to the Rabbim, Rabbim is cooler. It's one bechotzer, and you can be ma'arav, the whole thing is one bechotzer. That's the more testament. So actually it says, Eilel HaPesach Echot, V'la Mefu Lashazi, V'la Dome L'Digle Midbar. Now, it's strange, right?
What was the Gemara in the Torah?
The Gemara says that if you have a city which only has one access point, it's not, then you can be ma'arav the whole city, there's no resistance around, which is separating the sides. The flow of the Gemara over there really is dealing with the din of Irsha Yach and Irsha Rab, which is something which we didn't learn yet. So the question is, if I have this Irsha Yach and Irsha Rabim, can I make it into one bichot? Or Dan is one Iruv Echatzeris. This is Iruv Echatzeris, not Iruv, not Mechitza really. But the issue is, it says over there, is in a case where you're going to have a road going through the middle, you cannot be ma'arav it separately, because everybody shares that road. So therefore it becomes this one makom which everybody shares. If you ma'arav it separately, you're going to, again, you're going to have two reshuyas, two permissions over the same area, and that is that negates your eruv. That's the main point of the Gemara. So and in that Gemara, the Gemara says, if you only have one road, right? So obviously everybody's sharing the same spot, everybody's using the same access point. So you have to ma'arav it as one. That's the topic of the sugya over there in Daf and Tes. The point over there is not to teach me halacha of Hilchos Rishus Rabim versus Hilchos Rishus Yochid. That's not the point. The point over there is Hilchos Eruv Chatzeris. When do you have to ma'arav it as one? When do you even ma'arav it as two? And that's brought down. If I call correctly.
What did Rashi say over there again? Maybe you read it out loud.
I'll get to Rashi in a second. So that law was brought down later on. I remember Shinai and Galvin.
I think
you
mentioned
was
that Rashi
says, okay. Alright, so let's put down later on. There's a law that you have to, there's a city, you're going to have your city. Dinner Reuben Leher. Irshal Yisrael Kinyan Yochid. Even comes to Rabin, so they continue to do one. Irshal Rabin, Cheshire Pesach Echod. Rabin is cool, Ben Sricho. Fine. That's the conversation over here. If it has a way to go fully through, and then there's a law that sometimes that you can be ma'arav of the whole city. Sometimes you have to leave part of the city, not part of the same unit. People should know there's an issur of caring from one area to the other. That's not the point of the Gemara over there, is not to teach me a law in Hilchos Rishus HaRab. That wasn't the point. But Aga Rashi points out, in that case, the top Rashi. Okay, that's the marimokim that the Gura goes to for this halacha, that there's a requirement of to be considered for Surah, and has to be mafulish.
That's going back on Palti, and he was lost on Palti.
And that was going back on Palti. Okay. Now, Rashi and Davov, Rashi said, Shema foolish. Rashi already introduced that idea, and Davov and Aleph. Shema foolish. Rashi again, Davov and Beis. Rashi says, Avule de Mechuzo, Shari Yir Mechuvonim, Zekeneged Zeh, Vahoyeva Shishim Ribu. So Rashi introduces, again, says the idea that you need it to be going all straight through.
And Rashi can't be going in
13? Yeah, isn't the Sugya there about the Rabbim walking through? So if you wanted, it could be Madhikli to all about the world. Derech Rishis Rabbim, the Mar calls it.
The Gura seems to introduce the requirement of Mefulish Mishar Lashar only in the context of this street which has a Chayim. Which means the street doesn't have a Chayim. Which is the way he's understanding the first half of that. There's no such requirement. And he says the place where I have this idea that there's such a requirement for such a street seems to be more clear to him in Daf and Tes than it is in Daf Vav. But he's going to seemingly learn that it's in Daf Vav also.
What's the kasha? Is there something? Is there a kasha?
I'm just pointing out, I'm pointing out the Ha'ara. The Vilna Gaon ran to Daf and Tes when he could have brought this in on a foolish in Daf Vav. I don't think he's learning that they're arguing. I don't know what he saw in Nuntes more than he saw in Daf Vav.
Well, maybe because in Nuntes you could say Nuntes it's about the entire city. I mean, it's Mukach that there's absolutely no Rishus Harabim in the whole city, no?
I thought because Nuntes you see it's a Paltia and Daf Vav you could learn it with Nuntes.
Yeah, I mean towards the same idea, basically.
Could be fine, but then we're understanding. But the way the Gaon presents it in the Shulchan Aruch, the presentation of the Gaon in the Shulchan Aruch again is, which and we'll see if he's dafka or not, is. It says, "Bein l'mchayim." Afilu yesh l'mchayim loim hei mefulashim mishar l'shar habrishus harav. So he's learning the Shulchan Aruch. I think he's learning the Shulchan Aruch that there's turim and din. There's one din that rechayimus do not have a chayim are considered habrishus harav without the requirement of mefulash. There's a second halacha in a case where they have a wall. Then they're only considered Rishus Harav if they're Mefulash.
Isn't that the Beis Yosef, no?
The Beis Yosef was talking about the city.
Or something even a road.
The Gaon is learning up over here in the language of Shulchan Aruch and referring to the road.
Then the road, but not the city.
What parts of the road?
Sartia.
So if I have a road which has walls on two sides, such a road is only Rishus Harav when it's Mefulash. If I have a road which doesn't have walls on the two sides, so then even if it's not Mefulash, it's Rishus Harav. And the Gaon says the reason why Asartya is considered Rishus Harav is because Asartya, by nature, the fact that it's not inside of the city, it doesn't have walls around. Because there's no walls out in the high road, so therefore automatically it's Rishus Harav. Whereas the Platya, he's not learning Platya necessarily per se, meaning a meeting place as opposed to the regular streets of the road, of the city. It means the streets of the city, which function inside of the city. Many times they will have walls down the sides of the road because the houses function as walls. And so you, if you look at your street, you basically see a street running between two long rows of houses. That's a wall.
Doesn't the Shechor use Lashon Shvakim?
Rechavim and Shvakim. That's what they're asking. Isn't Rechavim going on Saratia and Shvakim going on Altia?
But the Vilna Gaon doesn't learn like that.
So how's it Shvakim?
The Vilna Gaon is not mechalting Saratia and Platia. As his chiluk is whether it has a wall or not. Elim Chaim is referring to a Saratia. If it has a wall, it's referring to a Platia. The main nekuda by him is not so much what the usage is where it's is whether it has a wall.
So he's saying they're both Derech of the Rabbim to pass by. Platia is within a city and Saratia is out of a city? That's how he's learning?
The the point of a sratya, the reason why we mention it's outside the city is a way to say that someone doesn't have a wall. Right, but it's not. It's about it outside of the city. It's a different dinim. Because it has a different function. That's the point. Is it's a street without walls. A good example of a street without walls is a street without outside of a city. A good example of a street, something which has walls, is a plot inside of a city. But that seems to be what he's learning. Okay.
Oh, he took the O out of Rashi. That's what he did. No?
Okay. That's first point. Then the second point, he comes along and says, okay, and that which I tell you, that this idea of a street inside of the city has a requirement of mafulish, and otherwise it's not going to be considered shesarabim, he plucks it out of the Moran Daphne test and the Rashi and Daphne test. Again, the Gemara, it's not mukhrach. Rashi is the one who adds it. And for some reason, he ignores the Rashi and Daphne. The reason why I'm telling this is important, because the Mersha builds in his Shuva, the Yukim and this Gra, why he chapped on Daphne test and not on Daphne. Okay.
So just make sure I'm clear. So Rebbe's saying that the Gra is learning out that there's no chilip ni palti on Sartre. That's not the Gether. The Gether is there a Choma or not a Choma? It just happens to be that Sartre never had a Choma, really, and the Palti did. That's right. What Rebbe's understanding. Okay.
So what does it do with Rashi and Shabbos then? Rashi clears Machalik and Shabbos. Rashi defines the Palti as a mokum where they meet for business and a
100%. Like I said, the point is something which travels from city to city usually doesn't have a wall, and something which is inside of the city where people gather usually has a wall around it.
So the whole gathering thing was just like it was for fun in Rashi. There was no actual significance.
The word platya means a place to gather, but the significance of it was
the public place,
the public place.
Not so much the gathering.
It was the public place which has a wall. That is a good example of it. That's how the okay. Let's now Ha'ora presentation number one, point number one. What we're doing, we have on the side. Question number two.
So the word Rachov, could that mean a highway, or is that an interstate street by definition?
Rachov?
Yeah.
Rachov means a street. I don't know. I have no. I'm not familiar enough with the usage of. In modern Ivrit,
it must be the way the girl's learning that it could also mean an out of city street.
Correct.
It has to be. Right.
But I can't tell you how the usage is in the old. Okay. Now. So, in this din of Mefulish, how Mefulish is Mefulish? Okay? So we need it to be Mefulish from one side, Mishar Lashar. So, we now have a question. The way we read the Rashi, that requirement is only valid when you're talking about a walled city. Aleph.
It means Mechuvin, not Mefulish, right?
I'm going to get there. Because Rashi only mentions it in conjunction with a city which has a wall. Rashi, if you read the Rashi with the O, the way Reis Yosef reads the Rashi, and the way the Rosh seemingly seems to quote it.
Is this another example of the Gra taking Shulchan Aruch out of context, like by a literal meeting?
You know, let me finish this next thought. Okay. Versus a Rabbin here the Rosh in the Simon Tess. Here's Rashi Tershi, hey, Roycha Tezainam, Mitzin Rashi Shimri, but the Ain Lochaim. If you
Okay. So he definitely has the O. Right? What he does introduce for us is Rosh Hashanah. Here's Rashi. Rosh Hashanah has to be Tesai Nama. Why? It has to have Shishin Riboy. So that could be referring to back to Rosh Hashanah. As opposed to Rashi, Rashi starts off with the word ear. The Rashi starts off with the word Rosh Hashanah.
Is the Russian Vav and Aleph?
I'm not talking about Vav and Aleph. Vav and Aleph. Simachas. Okay. So, we have the Rashi, the way Rashi reads, and we have the Beis according to the Rashi has written that the concept of the foolish is only required dealing with the Rabbin in a walled city. We have a Shulchan Aruch presenting it. That it's a halacha of walls on the Mishnah Rabbim or not. Okay. Beis. What does this phrase "mefulish" mean? Mefulash mishar l'sham. Comes a Magen Avraham in Sukkot and Vav. Says mefulash mishar. Here is hashorim mechuvanim zeh keneged zeh. V'yesh lo'osa derech hamechuvan mishar l'sham. Called in Rosh Hashanah. So he starts off with, you mean that the Sh'orim are actually Mekuvin Zeh Keneged Zeh. Which we learn Rashi over here on that Vav. Rashi says, Shem Shazam Shalom Mekuvin Mishar L'Shar. Shem Foolish Demo Delimin. So foolish occurs means that it doesn't end. It's an open-ended thing. It opens up to both ends to the Shar. Mekuvin Mishar L'Shar means that it shouldn't be any place where it, you know, ends or veers off, etc. That the Sh'orim have to be Mekuvin Zeh Keneged Zeh is something that, basically, that the Magen Avraham adds, that's Rashi and Abbeis. Avulei the Mechuzah, Shari here, Mechuvonim, Zeh Keneged Zeh. So now Rashi adds in that not only does the road have to be intact from one end to the other, but the Shorim have to be Mechuvon Zeh Keneged Zeh. Which means, Pasha reading of Rashi, I make an easy city. Make a city with a perfect square. Okay? And the Shar on the east side comes in exactly at the midpoint, and the Shar on the west point goes out at 30%. That's not sure. That's what Rashi seems to be reading. There's another condition. It has to go perfectly across. It has to go straight across. Can't go across at an angle.
You didn't see that by the first Rashi.
Right. No. So it wasn't Mekuvim L'Shar L'Shar.
I understand that the Sharim aren't Mekuvim the first Rashi, but Mekuvim L'Shar L'Shar, right. Mekuvim means the Kavanah, straight. And Mechavim L'Era means straight.
Right? It goes straight from one to the other. Whatever the definition of straight is. If I put one Shar here, one Shar here, then it goes straight through as opposed to going like this along the way. Right? So Mekuvim L'Shar L'Shar just means it has to go all the way through. That the Sharim of Kavanah is that connected there. Rashi introduces it on the base. That you have to be Mekuvim perfectly one and connected the other.
Why is it giving them a foolish Amud Aleph? No, I don't think Amud Aleph. Rashi's Lord is Mekuvim. Great, they don't say the Sharim Mekuvim, the Ruud Mekuvim. But why do you gain any more than a foolish if it doesn't mean that the Sharim are straight?
Well, that's what she says. Sorry, but she's Rashi's Lord Mekuvim and Shal the Shar. She hate a foolish. All Rashi tells you, she's not foolish. The main point is, we want to accomplish Shima foolish. Demo Dilimim. So, Dilay Midbar, they travel. We have to assume that Rashi said the point is that Rashi Manel tells me that they didn't have that nothing blocked their way. They had their unknown raising up the low, lowering up the high, perfect to low, straight. Nothing ever blocked their way. So it's the path is foolish. Demo Dilay Midbar.
Whether they travel directly north, south, east, west, I don't know which way they traveled. Maybe they traveled northeast to southwest. I don't know. Right? Right. In order that you were foolish, definitely didn't. Okay. But Rashi on the base adds a new kinesh. Now, the reason why this is significant is when we start discussing putting an Arab around the city, right? So, A, I have to figure out if my city is considered a walled city or not. Is the requirement of this of Mefulish owned by a walled city? Our city is therefore unwalled. It's irrelevant. A. B, if you apply it to any city, I have to know what exactly you're asking from me. You're asking from me that the road should go straight through, and that's all you're asking from me? Are you asking from me that the road should go straight through, and that there should be a very clear, balanced entrance point and exit point? So, this argument, the worship is very kind to us. You know, Rebbe Torah comes many times when there was a halakha l'maisa issue which had to be discussed, and all the poskim threw their weight behind it. They created a tremendous amount of Rebbe Torah. So, the discussion about an Arab in Manhattan generated probably reams of paper that were used to generate the discussion. Forget about, I'm not going to talk about the Arab in Brooklyn, the Arab in Manhattan. One of the questions was that one of the main issues was Manhattan has a seawall which goes around the whole island. So there's a wall which is 10 feet high, straight down into the water. There's no area which we're concerned, which tomorrow we'll see there's a look, and we're concerned sometimes that maybe the yam will wash up the sand, etc., which will lower the height that you need or the angle that you need. We're not worried about that by a river you sweep. It doesn't do the same thing by yam, you have that problem. By river you don't usually have that problem. So now I have my whole island has a wall around it. So I want to say the whole island is that's a mercy. So yuck, it's an enclosed area. Right? At the bottom high. Right? At the right angle. Everything is good. So the issues which came up, one of the main issues which came up is the bridges coming into the island. The bridges coming to the island are more than 10 amas wide, so they function as a pier. So, do they function as a pier or not? That's part of the question. Right? And if they do, they would function the equivalent of having an access point into the city, into your walled city. But then I'm a chumash that can make it there. So any road which comes in basically just dumps into Manhattan and it stops there. There are other ones which go out, right? So you have your Queensborough Bridge comes in at the 38th Street, and there's another bridge which goes across on the side, West 178th Street, GW Bridge goes out. The problem is the GW Bridge comes in at nowadays it's actually different, but when most of these shows were written, I'm old enough to remember when it wasn't like that. Now you come to the bridge, you go straight across into the Bronx. Right? That wasn't always there. You would actually come off the bridge, go into the street, and then go on the bridge on the other side. So the Geneva Bridge actually went like this. It came in at 178 and went across the Bronx at 181st. So it wasn't Sharon Rukhovin Zekanegadzeh. But it was Mefulish. There was a straight road which we went between the two of them. But it was the Sharon Rukhovin Zekanegadzeh. Came in here and went out here. Exposed. Now it goes like this. But it used to go like this. Now it's Mechum B'Shar
L'Shar. Now it's straight.
Now it's straight. But when the Lala Chum was written, so Remersh came along and said, as long as it's connected, even though it's not Mechum B'Shar L'Shar, there's no such requirements. A lot of the person argued Remersh, this is not called Shorim, Mechum B'Shar L'Shar. Therefore, even though it's foolish, it doesn't make a difference. And therefore, they don't act as that they're bringing Rosh Hashanah into the area.
What about the pirtzah?
the period that you have to. Now, if that's true, so I can put a Tzuras of Pesach over it, because you can't put a Tzuras of Pesach over a Shulchan Rabbim. I can put a Tzuras of Pesach over someone who's not a Shulchan Rabbim. So if this is straight through a Shulchan Rabbim, I can't put an Erev over it and solve the problem. Tzuras of Pesach over it and solve the problem. If it's not a Shulchan Rabbim, I make a Tzuras of Pesach, and I'm a very happy person. Furthermore, many of the places which we'll see as we go along, many of the places can suggest that maybe we can look at the bridges themselves where it's Tzuras of Pesach.
Underneath them?
Underneath them.
Well, like, why does that work both on top of you? That's silly.
What?
Now, how does that work both on top of you? And the whole Tzuras of Pesach is that Tzuras of Pesach is either a wall, it's part of the wall, is a door. But the door
is underneath. It's Tzuras of Yachid on top.
I don't know if we have a
Tzuras
of Pesach on top also.
What? What do you mean under what was that?
If
I'm looking, I'm sitting under the bridge. If here's my bridge across, I have a road down here. I stop and I stop over here. I look at the bridge. Okay. So many times you will see that there's a support here, there's a support here, and there's some beam going across, right? So you have a Tzuras of Pesach. You want to look at it this way. You also have a Tzuras of Pesach many times. You have a support here, a support on the other side of the river, and you have the roadway going across. So there are many different commutations of how you can make an argument that there's a Tzuras of Pesach. Right? But that's not from today's conversation. But this was the issue: is Tzuras of Pesach going to be sufficient? Whatever Tzuras of Pesach you hold as a valid Tzuras of Pesach for this issue, do you need to put Tzuras of Pesach on top? Is the one below it work? That's Mark McCoy. But whatever it is it relevant if it's a Tzuras of Rabbim or not? Okay. Now, the argument could also be, if my math is correct, I think the Midtown Tunnel comes in and goes straight across to the Holland Tunnel. Again, it comes in at 38 and goes out of 34th. Holland Tunnel goes off out of 34th. What? Lincoln Tunnel. Okay.
Isn't that underground?
What?
Isn't that underground?
That's true. What?
What? If it's underground, how is it?
Just a red bed. It's basically a straight street.
I don't know anything about New York. I got stuck on it once. But I thought it goes under the water.
It does.
And then it comes up into... It comes into Manhattan, though, overground. Oh, so it's still coming from the outside.
There's people coming into Manhattan from... There's a road which comes straight into Manhattan.
Oh, okay, but it opens up into Manhattan, probably by...
So, theoretically, this is where this issue of how you look at the definition of mefulish, what is the requirement of mefulish, given the shar l'shar or not, became a very big issue. So, Menachem Mendel Kasher. He was probably one of the biggest proponents in his generation of an Erev around Manhattan. There were proponents in earlier generations. The first time they suggested making an Erev in Manhattan was actually in 1905. So, but Ramachem Mendel Kasher, he's known as the Torah Shlema. We have the same Torah Shlema, right? So, quite an encyclopedic knowledge of the, without the computer.
Why did the Shaila come to him? I mean, what's his show?
He was living in New York.
Oh, he was in New York?
He was in New York. In the 50s, he was in New York. So he was one of the bottom in the city. So what happened was the Amshin of a Rebbe was living in Manhattan, and he felt it was proper to contemplate the idea of making an Erev around Manhattan, addressing the issues of Erev around Manhattan, because the many people were carrying, we can remind their chilul Shabbos, that's a good thing. B, there's people which needed, for different reasons, to carry, if it be possible, doctors, etc. C, it would be much better for women. And we'll see as we go along that this is an ongoing argument. There's a law in Hilchos Eruv Chatzeres, which is explicitly it's a mitzvah to make an Erev in the city. So do we extrapolate from the mitzvah of Aruba Chetzeris to the mitzvah of Aruba Mechitza? The Simcha said, hey, mitzvah lacks or akarei, shetufim of voice, mavarach lova al mitzvah eris. It's a mitzvah to make. Okay? And that's a Gemara, actually. It's based on a Gemara. The Gemara says that they had a time in Abayu that Haki Abatamachov lived in the city and you didn't make an Erev around the city. Meaning Erev in the Ruvik and Sainz. What's the argument? You should make it possible to carry. So look, who had been, there's a mitzvah to make a mechitza around the city if possible. So Menashe Klein in his Mishnah Halachas, when he wrote up the source why he believed you're allowed to make the Erev in Brooklyn, he devoted a good 20 or 30 pages to the mitzvah of making an Erev before he started. There's a mitzvah to make an Erev. There's a chasam, that's a mitzvah chasam sofer. Chasam sofer says that we shall sue from the dinner of the dinner of Bnei's Mechitzis. The logic is the same. And that whole school of Tamir Chachamim and Paiskim, etc., all fell after the chasam sofer. The Moshe says that he does not see that that's true, that there's a mitzvah to make. Since in Europe they used to make, because in Europe was not able to function without it, they didn't have their own, many people didn't have their own stoves, they would have to bring their cholent to the bakery, etc. Nowadays it's much more doable, he doesn't see that there's such a pressure to do it, and he disagreed on that point also. But now the time of the mitzvah to make it is, the option of a rabbi came along and said, like, let's see if we can make an Erev around here. What are the issues? So if you're a buddy, did a tremendous effort to try and research what was the physical mitzvahs of Ben Haz, and one of them was Menachem and Lukash. So he wrote up a sefer called Divrei Menachem, which is his Hasbro why he believes you're allowed to make an Erev in Manhattan. It's 150 pages long, and there's a lot of information there. Also wrote some shorter versions of it, which I've used so far. So there is a periodical called Noam, which you've probably never heard of. A very chashuv periodical which came out. Shiva has one or two. I have one or two volumes at home. It's like it's totally out of print. It hasn't been printed in years and years and years. So Menachem Lukasha was the editor of it. So the first volume, he has a piece from a Breuel Kreuzer's that's out. Was one of Delhi, the Gedarlim in his time, wrote up about a 40-page piece going through the different arguments whether you can make an Erev in Manhattan. So that's in Chelu Gala. But the end of Menachem Lukasha adds in a few points. Then Chelu Bob, he goes back and talks about it again. So Chelu Bob, he goes through some of his arguments why you're able to make a mechitza, it's about mechitza around Manhattan. He gets involved in this issue of Mechuvan Zeh Keneged Zeh. She gives you a list of Rishonim who discuss Mechuvan Zeh Keneged Zeh. Okay? He says, there's no, they're not, the old Rishonim are not Mechuvan Zeh Keneged Zeh Manhattan. He quotes that there was one of the Gedolei Rabbanim in Varsha said a fascinating thing. Varsha was a city which had over 600,000 people. 6,000 Jews, actually, you know, back in Europe. Tremendous amount of people there in the city.
And that's obviously he's not talking about it. That's over Muscon. Like Rashi points out here, you didn't hear. The Ritzva says why you're flying, they didn't actually live in your flying, but they could come.
I'm not talking about that Cheshbon yet. We'll talk about how you calculate 600,000, a separate conversation. Okay, he says, but the Maisa, there was an area around Varsha. He says, why was there an area around Varsha? Because there was no streets which were Mechuvan Zeh Keneged Zeh. There was no shart. Every street, you know, ended up in another street. There's no street. He says, however, on the other end, you have this ironical reality
reality that you'd have smaller towns who had a main street. Main street came in on one end, went straight to the town, went out the other end. There you could not make an Eruv. Because the street was Mechuban Zeket Eged Zeh. So you could have unless you argue the argument is 100,000, you have an Eitzah. But it comes out even if you hold the 100,000, it's not a requirement, right? You have this gigantic city with teeming with populace, which you make an Eruv around. And this little dinky town, which you can't make an Eruv around. That's what comes out. It's a fascinating thing. So he says over here, you need Sharm Mechuban Zeket Eged Zeh. He gives you the Rashi in Eruvin. On Vavama base. And then he sends you back to the Rashi and brings the Mitvor and the Aram and brings Rashi Rashi. You need Psoch of Mechuanim Zekeneged Zeh. Rabban Mocham is Aram Shashareh Mechuanim Zekeneged Zeh. The Rashba says Mechuanim Zekeneged Zeh. Then he brings you the Miri, he says over here Piskei Shnei Rosh of Mechuanim Zekeneged Zeh. Ashadavar Motsu the Rabbi Lias Boykin Behem Mi Pesach Zeh Lepesach Zeh below Shum Ikum. There can't be any bend at all.
Was that?
The Meiri. The Nimps of Rabbi Mitzuyim Leif Kair Will Ikonis Olotis B'yosher B'li Ikum. They have to go in straight without any turning. Okay.
I'm confused about the definition of this thing. Even if it goes passes through the city at a diagonal along the side along the city, but it's if it's straight through, then that fits.
I understand that.
I'm very confused about the definition.
Their understanding. Ramosha argues your point. There's this requirement of the pisochel mechuanim zeket neged zeh.
I mean, if you wanted, you could be madchik all of this to mean, like, I guess, like a variety. Moshe is saying that as long as it's a straight line, right, that's really what they're getting.
However, he does agree. Ramosha does agree that the arzurua, he says, you can't be a doich. Probably.
I thought Ramosha said even if it turns somewhere, that's still.
His argument is, even though it's true, as long as it doesn't come in the same spot, go out the same spot, it's not called the shahr is not Mechuban Zeket Eged Zeh.
But what does it mean the same spot? Let's say if I'm standing there and at one gate and I can see all the way straight down to the other gate, that's always considered Mechuban Zeket Eged
Zeh. So you mean the diagonal
relative to the city around it. It's dependent on the shape of the city around, or
possibly he's saying it's all the city around.
Okay. So even if I can see straight from one gate to the other gate, it's still not going to be considered
Zeket
Eged Zeh.
Right in the middle, take a laser, point it straight out.
It's very strange. Okay.
But what did Rabbi say with Michelle though? With the
So Rashi agreed that the Arzurua, let's give an example of a city which is a square.
If you don't have a square, then what do you measure?
I don't know. It's a good question.
This is bad.
Correct.
Okay. Very amazing. Very weird.
From Michelle Shar,
this is not a Rashi Sarabim, according to the way they're learning this.
Because
so
he starts discussing the Shar being Mechuban Zeket Eged Zeh. I already told him the road has to be straight. What he means is that the gates have to be parallel to one another.
The
Rishonim are discussing halacha in their language is Shar Mechuban Zeket Eged Zeh. They keep talking about the Shar being Mechuban. It is interesting, but the Kun over here isn't the Shar. The Kun is the road is straight. Right?
How do we measure the shape of the city? If it's not a square, do we have to be ma'abur it?
I don't know how you would do it.
They're making a criterion that's bizarre, that's very hard to actually get.
We'll see in a second.
But Rebbe said earlier, a long time ago, that when Moshe said by Manhattan, before they built the new bridge, that it was just around.
It went in 70 east, west 178, went out of east 181.
Does that mean it went in like that, and then you had to go like that to come out?
No, Everyone's masking that's bad.
Even Ramosha's masking that's bad.
Yeah, I think Ramosha was also masking that.
Yeah, that's not the Dion. The Dion is where it's straight through. At an angle.
So if I draw my Manhattan picture, right? The Dionovich comes in here and goes out here. So even if you would have the road going like this.
I can't.
Diagonal. So Kardra Menachem Mendel Kasher, this is not going to be acceptable.
So Rebbe said that.
Because it's not Mechumen Zeken Egezet. Moshe says, as long as it's straight.
So from one to the other. The rioter of Menachem Mendel Kasher was that Rashi's Dogish is that the Sharim on the Chuvin.
So he's building, he himself builds on the fact that Rashi and Vavim Abbas, by Vuluz and Machuza, Rashi adds a Kanech, which Rashi didn't say in Amud Aleph. Like Rashi changes his Lashon, and he says, Shari Ha'ir Mechuvanim Zeken Egezet.
Is there some sort of svar to it? Yeah. Or is it just
I'm going to try and get there. Okay, so Ben Immersion says that he feels that all of the Lashonas, all the Rishonim that he quotes, are doable.
What to the words of Ruah's Lashon?
So he says, Ben Immersion agrees that the Arsarua, so here's Arsarua that he's quoting. So if the Pesachim are not Mechuvan Zeken Egezet, like the Diglei Midbor, that was, and then he says it again. They reached the point of Rashish and Rebu, no, the city group, which is the amount you had to do in Midbor. But the Pesachim are not Mechuvan Zeken Egezet.
Why is this one worse than the others? Right. You also
I think that he's.
Wasn't
the
comparison to Digley Midbar to what the real deal is?
No, we'll get to Digley in a second. Right. So Ramosha raises the question how you knew that the Digley Midbar were like that. But he agrees that he's stressing the Nakuda that the Digley Midbar had a nature that the doors were Mechuvan Zeken Egezet. I don't know how we knew that the Digley Midbar, their road didn't go like this. I don't know how we knew that, right? But Ramanashim, you know, he handles this question. How do we know that there's such a requirement? That's how the Digley Midbar function. I don't know. But we'll talk about that in a second.
Isn't it on the stopper of the H camp in a square that they would have made a street road through the gold? No? I want to forget.
I don't know.
What was the Lashon or the Ruah that was like
the Lashon? The Ein Pesachel Mechuvanim Zeken Egezet Kikur Digley Midbar. So, because the Pesachim are not Mechuvanim Zeken Egezet, he stresses it twice. The Nechuna, he actually says it three times. Ein Pesachel Mechuvanim Zeken Egezet.
If you really wanted to, couldn't you say that it all means straight line from one to the other?
Apparently, even Ramosha wasn't that Lahu to say it.
Okay.
So now, how much of a role did Digley Midbar play by us? That's an interesting question.
Are we going to now point number three?
I'm going to now try and let's clarify Digley Midbar a little bit. What role? How much do we Digley Midbar play a role over here? Okay. There's a Tosis that based on Aleph and Shabbos. Tosis points out that you have to think about an interesting thing. We know there's a concept of Ovis and Toldos. So, by definition, Toldos were not things which were not in the Mishkan. They were not exactly how it was done in the Mishkan. But, in general, we assume that the definition of a Toldos is either that the Maisa is the exact same Maisa, even though the result is different, or the result is the same even though the Maisa is different. That's how the Magen Mishnah suggests the two criteria how to create a Toldos. The same type of action or the same type of result. Tosis points out the only exception to this rule
Shmuel have told us, he's Yerushalmi, by the way, which says every one of the Ovis has Lamed has told us. So there's many Melachos and Reis. The Tosfos says, I got a cash. That the Melacha of Shabbos, right, is Hamoitz Mishasiyach Mishasirab. The Mora in the Perek HaZorik, when it starts going through the different types of, how do you know Zorik, and how do you know Marvin Alam Mishasirab, and each one the Mora says, either Zalacha Moshe Messina or it's a Josh of Rufus. He says, what is that? What happened to them? Have told him.
More time. They said it was the same type of Maisa, and the Magyarusha said the same.
So says, either one, the definition of it is either that the concepts are the same or the results are the same. The Maisa are the same or the results are the same.
So which one was Tosfos and Magyarusha?
So, what? We can't go to both. Magyarusha says both.
Oh, they both, Magyarusha and Tosfos
doesn't say. Tosfos doesn't say how you
get it. Okay, got it.
Tosfos says, so like, what happened to the concept of the told? So Tosfos says, you know, he saw as a Melacha Geruah. It's different than all of the 39 Melachas. 37 of them are quite different, and even one of them is somewhat different. Of the 39 Melachas, 37 of them, you're egg making a change in the item itself. You're cooking it. You're killing it. You're going to plant the seed. You know, you're doing something. You're making a change in the item itself. The only two melachos that you're not changing the item itself is sod, where the item remains the same, but now it's enclosed in a room. But we understand intuitively that animal which is captured, there's a change in the animal in a certain sense, that it's the state of the animal not being captured. What?
He said,
right? Right? The animal which is now under your control is a different type of an animal than an animal which is loose. And it saw, which means the item is exactly the same, position A, position B. So it says we're not going to extrapolate without a pasuk anything beyond the malacha that we have. So, different than all of the other malachas, we're going to have to keep looking back to the malachas of Mishkan for just so. So our limitations of Svora, when we come to Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Yochid, are going to be challenging.
But, cool. It doesn't make sense, Elijah Mechum Shal Shar, but that's what it was like in Digli Midbar.
So the Moshe says, if it has a roof on top, so we were discussing last week. So, modern terms. So, I have a Mokum which is, it's a shuk. It's an indoor shuk, right? I have Mall of America. Mall of America, right, is in Minneapolis. It's the world's largest mall. It has like five layers. It has an amusement park inside of the thing. It has, it has a stadium. It has like who knows what inside of the thing. There's masses of people going through that. It has a roof on top. Not just a rabbi, it's just the yachid. Very good. Not doing it to Digli Nidbar, right? So Menachem Kasher, in his Tikkun Eruv in Manhattan, in his Digli Menachem, so he gives a simon of 10 things which the Gemara says have to be done with the Digli Nidbar. It says the first one is the din of Makarra, it's the Gemara in Dafei, and the Gemara in Daf Sadiches, because not done to what it was over there. Shishim Riboy, obviously we understand is Digli Midbar. That's our Rashi's. Okay. It has to be 16 amos. Why? Because that's where it was in the Midbar. Okay.
All these things have a little bit of a svara to them. You could hear why these are relevant things that we learn out. I mean, it has to be a certain width to be an important road. It has to not be like an enclosed space. I mean, these are things that make sense. I mean, but something so random and arbitrary.
Okay. Easy. So, Lasan Ulois. Rashi says, why Lasan Ulois? Because it's not like the Limidbar Shaydarach Pasuach L'chol Shah. So therefore, that once I shut the door, there's a big, we'll see, we'll get to the Machlokes Dosan Ulois, how often do they have to be closed? Rashi says, some say it has to be, it's only true when it's closed. Okay? But some say, no, the status is closed at night, changes its status by day. Because they live in, and they were never closed, Rashi says.
Where is they? Over here? And on the bubble day?
Kuf Aleph Amun Aleph.
Okay, that would do it.
Erev and Kuf Aleph Amun Aleph. Okay. The Gemara says that they had a place where they would there was a road which went over, went up and down steps. I mean, their roads were for walking. It's not done at the Midbar, Rashi says, because over there it was flat, because the Anan made everything flat. Okay? So Gemara, the Chabez of Beis. If it goes up and down steps, right? Even though that's how everybody goes, and there's a whole flow of people there, it's not flat. In the Midbar, it was flat. Okay.
Is that the longest above three tefachim? What are all the stories of nichat tashmisha and non nichat tashmisha and all this stuff?
Okay. And apply to a bridge.
That's clear on the Gemara that an incline.
Yeah.
As long as it's a manageable incline, it's called flat. Right? Now, their definition of an manageable incline and our definition of a manageable incline are quite different.
Right?
So tell me, Slack, it's a 24 degree angle.
Oh, that's 24 degrees over Arba Amis?
Yeah, that's a 24 degree angle. It's very steep, you know. Right? You try and bike up that thing. Anyway, you know. But they have much stronger legs than we did. So he brings a there's a Tosis says that Nois is a Chayis Potter. Tosis says the Tosis is not sending Aleph and Aleph and Shabbos because in the Mishkan they never carried anything which was Chai. Everything they carried was dead. Okay.
The
Tosis says.
Is that
Al-Khayne Zatzim? The Tosis says there's no Yusuf of the Khayne Zatzim. It's learned from Mishkan.
Right, okay.
Says Rabbi Yehuda Shita that two mechitzas remove the status of Shitzur Rabin. He also agreed that two mechitzas is enough to make an oyster Shitzur Rabin. That wasn't done to the Midbar. There was no mechitzas at all in the Midbar. And some of the Chachamim suggest what shot the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold that the Anonim had a din of mechitzas. The same way we have our sukkah, right? There's a din of atop. So some say the din of mechitzas of the sukkah also could have done to the Anonim, which we were surrounded on the sides also. So the Anonim have a din of mechitzas.
Four mechitzas now. Because the Aisha have done four mechitzas.
The Brayim also used the tefach and the Tzur Pesach.
Okay.
But all these things, these soft types, Tosfos says it has to, it's on top of the Svara that has to be in the.
It has to be Lajah behind it.
So Lajah
behind
the logic?
It. So now, I'm the Lajah behind it is that I'm looking for Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, and I'm saying that the definition of Rosh Hashanah Rabbin is, it has to be 16 amas wide. Why 16 amas wide? Why not 15? Why not 17?
So there was a minimum mute.
But again, it's not Pasik.
They calculated it by the width of the Agolos.
I understand. How did I know that that was exactly, maybe the width, it happened to be the Agolos were that wide, but the mice said 10 ounces is enough to be, because it was just, I don't know. It's not logic, it should be 16 more than 15.
No, we know it should be wide.
So why 16?
So it has to be.
Why 16? So, I don't see why it should be 16.
No,
I think 15 sounds about very wide.
In a chinami, but there's a svara that it has to be wide. Now, when we want to know how wide it is, then we'll point to the.
So the svara has to be straight. How straight it is? Well, look, that guy wasn't.
But it is straight. What does it have to do with the city around it?
You're arguing the definition of straight. That's the way it was in the midpoint. The logic has to be straight. We all agreed to. Right? That shouldn't curve that and go like this is strange. Good. There's this, why exactly this about? Because we're in the midpoint. The same way 15 sounds good enough to me. Well, it has to be wide. How wide? Because the way it was in the midpoint. I don't see why we can't argue the same. I mean, Rambam agrees. Rambam Ruah is saying that.
Yeah, one is a gather of just width. We know it has to be wide, so we looked for the gather from the Mishkan.
And the one gather has to be straight. We looked at the way how was the Mishkan, how straight it was. I'm not sure why we disagree.
But in terms of preventing people from going through these, or preventing it, making it look more enclosed, or there's something about it that's memayat the Rishus Rabbimness of it. Having the city be at an angle around it or not at an angle is like saying that you can only do tzal with things that are blue, because in the Mishkan they did things that are blue.
Well, touches the thing, like only that. Things that are alive. It's all things are dead. I mean, I don't know. That sounds pretty strange to me too.
It has to have a sword.
You're agreeing to me that that should be straight as a sword.
Yeah, but straight means that you could walk past easily through it. That's the mile of straight in my eyes. That people can pass easily.
I know it's good. So, and the mile of wide is that people should be able to walk comfortably. Why 16? I have no idea why 16. So straight also. We agree that there's a logic behind straight.
Twice the meat. I mean, whatever.
So this is the meat. Exactly where the meat was in the midboard. The midboard was exactly straight.
But this is not a higher mile of straight. It's not a mile of straight. Straight just means a straight line.
And 16 is not a higher mile of 15 either. I don't know why they'll call it a bigger mile.
It's more wide.
Would you say 97 amas is a bigger mile over 96? You wouldn't say that. At some point, it's irrelevant.
Fit more people walking through it.
It becomes an irrelevant number at some point in time. Is 1,000 amas better than 1,001? No. It's so irrelevant that the difference is so it's insignificant. Why is it insignificant? Because the Torah, we had it in the midpoint, not more than that.
How do we know it was straight again in the midpoint? Maybe like kind of brought that up. Said I don't know. Went right there. How do we know it was straight in the midpoint? Rashi says not that kuf aleph. But like, how do we?
Apparently, there seems to be some logic. I don't know what straight means.
Right? Assuming it's like Menachem Mendel Kasher.
But the nature of the way they traveled in the midbar. See, there was two travelings in the midbar, right? Which Hagufa, I don't understand. Says the area around Rosh Rabbeinu was Rosh Hashanah. The areas where the tents were Rosh Hashanah. Fine. So now they pick up and they start traveling. So what happens? So if you hold that they traveled Kakara, so they basically collapsed the machana. They made a straight line. Everybody walked in the straight line. Following, you had your agolas in the middle. Everybody walked straight line right. So we say, well, that's the line that you're looking at. Okay, so I don't know they went straight. I don't know how they went straight. The same way they went, the owner made everything perfectly smooth and everything like that. So probably they didn't go running around like this the whole time.
But they did. If you look at the map, that's what
camped each time. Yeah, but the road wasn't. They didn't go from point A to point B like this. They went pretty straight.
Straight from point A to point B.
Right?
I thought the shot of the road running out of the camp for a guy to enter the camp.
But now, but if you learn that they traveled as they encamped, I never understood this. Still don't understand this. So the Gemara clearly says that we learn out the Isra Hitzah from they told them don't bring from where you live to Moshe Rabbeinu by the way where Moshe Rabbeinu is. Don't do Hitzah from your Rishus Yochid to the Rishus Rab. So we clearly stated that where the tents were was Rishus Yochid. Now they travel as a unit. Exactly the same shape. So those will remain Rosh Hashanah. So the roads. So now all of a sudden the roads outside of the tent become Rosh Hashanah. Before that wasn't called Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah was by Moshe Rabbeinu. So you went from your their house out of which the carbon device was a carmelist. It was a mukkah patur. Wasn't where you lived, but it was within all the tents. So that area in front of your house wasn't the Rishul Sarab. And then you would leave that, come into, there's a gap between the Machli Yisraelim and the Machli Leviyah. You come to Machli Leviyah, which was in the Rishul Sarab, because everybody would gather there by Mashur Beit. That's how the Mora presents. But the area around the tent was all called Rishul Sarab. Fine. So now, you see, you tell me they traveled exactly the same shape. Look, that area still remains Rishul Sarab. So we're discussing the Diglei Midbar, that was Rishul Sarab. We're only talking about the Levian, which were transporting the Golis, but not nobody else.
Why the everything? So everything the tents got wheels, and they just rolled them. They took them to the tents to walk. There was no shiach anymore when they walked. They didn't sleep anywhere on the road. They didn't have four walls up by them anymore. It was just people carrying stuff.
I'm confused.
No,
I'm confused.
What are we addressing? What's the deal all about?
Traveled, why aren't they just they moving?
I know like this. I know that where the Golis went, the six and a half wide is Yisrael.
Yes,
that's a Klargim one.
Right.
Where was Klai? So you
around
visit. So if you learn they traveled to Cairo,
right,
is they all lined up and two in front and two in back,
right,
all, you know, of the Golan, and they walked to the same road for all lined up.
Okay.
So it's very clear. They all traveled down this path which the Golas are going to either going to take or took already.
Okay.
So we'll call that Rishul Sarab. Very simple.
Okay.
Good. Now if you learn they traveled to Teva, right? Right? So we have
only in Kateva.
X amount of people here, X amount of people here. In the middle, there's this road with the Golis on it.
Okay.
What's the status of all these people walking forward on the side of that?
What's
why is Rishul Sarab? What made Rishul Sarab? Where is the 16 Amos wide? What is 16 Amos wide over there? What path did they clear? I don't know. I have no idea what they did. Maybe what they walked was a path which was 5 Amos wide.
What path? You would chart the path from one side of the camp to the other side. It's all people moving. It's a big crowd of people walking.
We know that the Golis walked in the middle,
yeah,
right, 16 amas wide. So I have a mass moving forward, which is about 3,000 amas wide,
right,
moving forward, and there's a path in the middle, 16 amas wide, and that's called Rishul Sarab. Everything else is called, I don't know.
That's just the dogma of the smallest version of Rishul Sarab of a path that you find, and that's the one that we're marking.
So how do I know that the people were traveling over here, they packed everything up on their animals, and they right. walked on a path? The people walking over here, maybe the path they walked on was 5 amas wide. I have no idea what big it was. I don't know what they were walking on.
I guess the dogma, for some reason, the Gemara learned was the Golis. Doesn't mean everybody else was also not in Rishul Sarab.
I have no idea what they were doing. How do I know they were traveling Rishul Sarab?
That's right.
I don't know what they're traveling.
What's the implication of that?
I don't know. When I want to compare, when I say that Pesachim are Mefuvim Zekin Neged Zeh, the going in and the going out, right? So am I looking at this? Am I looking at this? Am I looking at this? These people went, you know, when they went, they were here before, now they're here. They went straight. I don't know. It's very unclear to me exactly what we're referring to. I don't ever got this picture straight of where the six anamas role plays. If you look like him, even like him, I never pictured every travel on this, every like, you know, funneled in to 16 amas.
Why should we say like that? Is the word that this is when it was traveled, or just that the Machne had a road and this was the main road and the Tmuchach of the road was wide?
That's the way I was learning it.
I remember it either in Taisus or in Rashi on that Sugya, it's Mashma like that there were tents still along the side and there was even when they were traveling. So according to that, I mean, clearly even when the Golis were there was still a road and there was still stuff alongside the road and they're just going down that road. But I'm saying that my point is that we're learning from the shape of the main thoroughfare through the Machne. What does it matter how they traveled per se, when the whole Machne moved? Is that necessarily relevant?
I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I kept it one way or the other. I don't know how because I'll move the north.
I mean, we're learning from the shape of the Rishul Sarab, and just like we see with the that the area around Moshe Rabbeinu is Rishus HaRabim. It doesn't seem necessarily the word to have the whole machane moving to.
Over there, it's very so Zalus is very simple. It was a makom like if your Lord said there's a difference between a srat and a plat. It was very simple that was the plat.
Right.
Good.
Right.
That this became the paradigmatic srat. I have no idea how Chazal knew that. I have no idea. Maybe the paradigmatic srat is the whole with the whole machane.
It was the thoroughfare in the machane. We're imagining the machane is a city, and we're talking about the wide road. This is the way I understood.
How do we know? I don't know. How do we know that? There's sand. Sand. And there's animals walking by carrying things 16 amas wide.
When they weren't traveling.
Yeah, and when they're not traveling, I don't care about when they're traveling. When they're not traveling, we look at it as a city, and the areas that are wide enough to be a Rishus HaRabim or the Rishus HaRabim.
Because I'll don't learn from that. Because I'll learn from the width of the Golas traveling when they traveled.
I understood that. I think when we learned that that's the way it was. That's just as a simon to calculate how big the main street and the machane was. Meaning we're learning from the shape of the machane, from how big the main thoroughfare is. And the way to find out how wide it was is Grada when there were.
I know you learned the sugya over there. Rashi does not seem to have any mention.
I went through the sugya with this in mind when I was learning that. I don't think there's anything mufach against that, and it makes a lot of sense.
Anything more against that is not
or anything.
As far as
no,
I'm concerned.
I mean,
I need that because Rashi should create this issue.
No,
it's not clear in the Gemara.
No.
Let me finish my sentence, please. And Rashi should present. By the way, the point over here is not where they're traveling because Rashi says that the Levi'im when they would load it up and travel. No, I don't mean when they travel. I mean when they're camped, there was a similar dover. That's some point which Rashi should tell me. If Rashi didn't tell me, there's something missing over there.
But the Svara is the Pashtus, I think, so
I have no idea
think
the,
it has
I have
to
no
be...
idea what the, what's Pashtus. I have no idea what's Pashtus. We're learning from there's a cause of a Digley Midbar. That's called Pashtus. You can't do that. I have no idea. I don't know what's called Pashtus.
Midbar means the Machane, the shape of the Machane.
The Midbar means when they travel. When they settled, maybe there was a problem. As far as they know, when they were settled, that path was obliterated. It didn't function. It didn't exist. And it wasn't the main path that people used to travel to Moshe. I have no idea how people travel from this side. They went over here. People travel from this side. How'd they get there? They walked across the sand. They didn't use that road. They went, "Well, take a road. Come this way and go to the road." They didn't use that. They came straight from here. Wherever they came straight. The people happened to be right there. They happened to road. Travel the same spot. Oh, that must be the paradigmatic main thing. From. I don't know what that means. I don't have no idea what the words mean.
Rabbi asked Akasha, this is a teretz. Rabbi can say, no teretz, still Akasha, but okay. I'm happy because I have a teretz.
You know,
we can throw out the teretz and say,
Cutler said,
Yisoy.
The Yisoy goes like this. That when you find a concept in one place, it's Akasha. You can never prove the teretz is right because otherwise you have Akasha. Because that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
The proof that a teretz is right is have other places in Shas which prove that it's right. They say, listen, I got a Gemara, it's Shmer. I have a Teretz, it's supposed to be right, because we have a Kasha. That's not a proof. What?
That's the proof for evolution.
We don't want to go that route. So the getting back to over here, I have no idea exactly how Chazal understood the roads. I have no idea how the Chazal understood the roads. There's a Magamishna. The Magamishna comes along and says the Rambam sheet is that a Midbar is considered Rishus HaRabim.
I remember he addressed this. Did Rebbe really?
I did see it.
He really don't like it. It doesn't address this problem though. Rebbe doesn't like what he says. I don't remember what he says. Rebbe didn't like. Okay, whatever. Fine. I just remember he addressed this. Okay, fine.
So I have no idea how Chazal knew it. I have no idea what Chazal saw in this function, how it functioned. I really don't. But the more it seems to say that's what it is, I'll have to live with it at this point in my life. the well, I want to take it a step further and say there's a requirement, therefore it has to be debit in the midbar. It should be exactly the same way it was in the midbar. That seems to be something which by saw we are doing that. We're coming along and saying there has to be some parallel. How far you take that parallel is going to be at the deal in the Rishonim. The Naftimina, it will have these Naftiminas. When I get to that,
you ever seen about the Mad Mission of the Midbar?
So there's when I say the Midbar, our Gemara here in Shabbos, on the Shabbos. Kamazman, she saw you shrewd the midbar. Kamazman is
there. Now we got it.
There was something else going on here. Kashima says, Ramazan is there. Enomokim Hilak, the Hulk of Rimdar is Lushki. Good. The Rambam learns it the other way around. That Bisman, the Yisrael was of Shulman Midbar, right? So then the area of the Midbar was not Rosh Hashanah. Because they had a specific road that they traveled on, and everything else was the people around them, and that was Mamayan and limited. Nowadays, so Magen Mishnah says, the whole thing is Rosh Hashanah, because since you have a road going through the Midbar, and the area around the sides of it, the area around the sides of that gets the same din as the makom of the road itself, because there's nothing differentiated between the road and the side of the road. So the road, what's next to it, will then continue to be considered as an extension of the area where people pass through. That's how the Magen Mishnah understands the road. So Mash Enkin, the Rambam says, when Klai Yisrael was in the Midbar, so then there was a very distinct area where they were traveling, and everything else was set aside by the nonim, by the oil limb, etc. So that makes everything outside not Rosh Hashanah. Can you take the concept of the Magen Mishnah and the Rishonim with Dingzach on the Rambam and say that the Pshat is the Tesai Namo was Chazal Taitzam was Rosh Hashanah, and therefore everything next to it also then became by extension also Rosh Hashanah? I don't know. It's a suggestion. It's a possibility.
Where was just the answer to the problem with the
right? It's a possibility. I don't know. Again, the Rambam it's like neither sheets of another issue which we're going to get to Daimat Adidli Midbar Svora, etc. If people are traveling through the Rosh Hashanah and they're traveling through the Rosh Hashanah, let's assume you need some Samach Riboy. Is Samach Riboy acceptable if they're traveling through in boxes?
What? If
they're traveling through in boxes.
Cars.
Right? So the Poskim handled the Shiloh when the Marsham handled the Shiloh when people were traveling on. How do we look at the train? The path of the train went from city to city, carried tremendous amounts of people on it, but everybody's traveling inside of this box. So are the train tracks considered Rosh Hashanah? You know, you have the two or three or four different tracks going different directions, etc. In that area, you consider Rosh Hashanah or not? And this is, you know, the Naftimin, a person would come, would, you know, comes in. You have to cross. I mean, we have these nice high platforms. They don't always have these nice high platforms. You walk down. What? Well, I can't know what they make an air around. Right? Not, what? They don't.
A lot of most places they move on both sides.
Well, they don't make over any streets to map any single street.
The small ones that they have are they go up till the track.
Right, till the track. Right. So, or do you say let's not talk about the midport? So Mercer said that people, even though they're traveling inside of the cars, the cars have a status of a Rishus HaYachid because they're the many cars are 10 tefachim high inside the 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. So there inside of the car is a shusha yachid, and a person would be take someone from shusha yachid into the car, he's going to be chayiv. But they do count for the shishim riboy. The Ramanasha Klein, and one of his suggestions is that it's not Shishim Riboy, because if you look at the streets, these Shishim Riboy, they're in the cars don't count. Okay, one other area where you have this Shiloh is when we discuss free flowing. If I have something, there's no impediment on the road, but the Maisa, the flow of traffic can be stopped and be controlled. Is that a chesaron in Hilchos Rabbi Luna? Traffic lights. Or Reb Moshe Klein raises, the one of his questions that he raises is that, you know, the we could argue a strange reality that the street is not a mukim Hilchos Rabbi, because you're not allowed to walk on the street.
That's totally on the car thing. It's like he's double backing on himself. If you hold the car thing not like that, then it's Hilchos Rabbi. If you hold the car thing, yeah, it's totally zip his ass.
Not necessarily, because if I want to argue the amount of cars plus the amount of foot traffic, I can't combine the two.
Foot traffic's on the side of the road, it's not on the road, nobody walks on the road.
I understand, but the foot traffic is in one specific area, and the cars in another specific area. And I can't remember side of the two, because you can't, you know, I can't say, listen, you go in Manhattan, there's all these people walking in the street, and there's a lot of people, cars going through.
Right.
And the sidewalks go all the way up, they abut the streets.
Right.
Right. Not like, you know, over here we have the grass.
Yeah.
Right?
Summer spring, it's nice.
Right. So either way, you know, the width is really from this building to this building, because there's people walking and the streets in the middle, cars in the middle. But on the other hand, people where the people walk, you can't take cars. The cars, you can't put people. You know, maybe Manhattan, they don't care anyway. They go there anyway, right? But usually they don't go with the same flow. So then he raised the question of the traffic light. One of his arguments is that there's some impediment to the Hilchos Rabbi. It's not a free-flowing thing. And then he throws in, and it has to be done with the Diglei Midbar, where there was a free-flowing... Now, you could argue probably it wasn't a good idea to walk in front of the Golis. Probably that would probably be true, too. I don't know that it wasn't such a good idea to walk in front of the Golis. They might knock you over. I don't know. So, this concept of Diglei Midbar, besides Shishim Riboy, which we showed him, were Mamsi without the Gemara. This din of that, there's a din of foolish. Rashi also says we're Mamsi at Diglei Digla Midbar without the Gemara. So how far do we take it? You know, how far do we take it? This concept of Diglei Midbar. That is an interesting question. Okay. Just want to mention a few of the points over here.
Are we done with that girl? Are we coming back to that girl, or are we done with the girl?
Am I done with the girl? So, Ramosha suggests... see me afterwards. Okay. So Russia comes along and suggests a definition of 600,000, which we'll see based on Diglei Midbar, that was nothing to do with Hiluk, just based on the Malkim itself has X amount of people. We didn't touch on, let's hold this in here. Let's say you have something in the middle of a Shizu Rabin which is not made for Hiluk. The case of Tsoya, right? So the Mora says that Tsoya is less than Gimel Tfachim. It doesn't remove the set of Shizu Rabin from that spot. Why?
Well, because after Kippur Tachanun, you can't, it's a new point, you can't remove the status. After Kippur Tachanun, it's like, it's all one area. So Rashi presents it. And Mordechai, and remember, Kermit, Mordechai says, because people have to walk through it.
Right.
So there's a requirement, according to him, that means something which would impede traffic, even though it doesn't have substance to it in a certain sense. People don't feel like walking there. It's considered some impediments to the definition of Rashi's Rabbi for that month.
Rabbi is saying that the traffic lights are four. Does that mean it's only for that
month? Only four?
Only for the cross intersection by the traffic lights.
But if I need, if I accept the foolish, and every X amount of distance, every X amount of minutes, I have to force to stop. So is that some impediment in the flow of the Rabban going through this area? It doesn't go straight through.
Right.
I don't think Rav Moshe Klein meant that he's going to build his heter based on that alone. If I recall correctly, he has 11 svaras to nimater. That's one of them. Well, one of the other areas, there's a Chazanish, which by now you probably have seen somebody mention there's a Chazanish. Which really touches back to this Gro, which we were talking about before. Chazanish says like this.
Is it done with the walls of the buildings around it?
Right. The Chazanish discusses in a case where you have a pirtza which is more than 10 amas wide, but the area is Amid Merubah. So the lach is that clearly you can't carry on that area. Is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? Okay, so if I have a street which ends with buildings here, etc., then the street continues all the way down, and there are houses on the side, on each side. And there are streets coming through in the middle also, and the streets are wider than 10 amas wide. If I add up the building quotients on the side of the streets, it has one end over here, and it has buildings on the side, building on the side, and the end up there's more oymen than there is poles. So even though I have pirtzos which are more than 10 amas wide, the Chazanish holds that minoraisa it's still considered a rishus yachid. If you hold gimel mechitzas, let's say it's enough rishus yachid, most rishonim like that. I mean, Meruba gives you dinam, give him mechitzas. You have one mechitza over here, and you have. So now this area is all considered Rishus HaYachid. So we look at it halachically as if there's an imaginary wall all the way down. We ignore the pirtzas, midrashis.
So you have to be. Is it an average of the entire amount of wall versus open space, or is it in between each house? There has to be. Meaning, you could have two houses that are like 70 feet apart, but the rest of the houses all the way down are.
Unless it's a phenomenally big gap, which might, you know, as long as the street is going straight, you would look at all the final total. Okay. So the Chazanish says, okay, now once I got my one street which does this for me, so I'm going to write. So this is all enclosed. So now I come to this street, which is cutting through. It says, halachically, there's a wall here. Minaraisa, there's a wall there. He understands that the dinner by Merubah, the parrots, and he brings rise to it. There's a Tesla Rush, which Kamat says at the head, right? Like the Chazanish. That we look at it, it's enclosed. Right?
Even though the Rabban is passing through.
Well, there's machloikis in halacha between the Gemara where the Rabban, also Rabban about the machitza.
This is all stuff we haven't really like touched, right?
We haven't really touched yet.
Would this be considered like the pasavirus? Or is
well, the Russia's pasavirus, the minaraisa, is closes it off. It closes it off, even though there's only pasavirus.
Right.
Not worse than pasavirus.
Right.
So if I look at it like that, so now this street, which has many houses, also has three sides. Okay, now I go to the next street. Once you get one street which has a dead end, as long as you have streets with most streets you had he was dealing with in those places, where I remember Ruben, there was, right? So you keep ending up blocking off streets.
The exception to that would be if you have a shrit which is raised up or lowered down. Gosh, that wouldn't work.
What is shrit?
So if I have, let's say, a highway going through, and the highway it's either lowered down, many times the high is lower than the other area, or it has a fence across behind, around it, both sides, or it has, it's raised up.
Any shear through it? Or just
10th
right.
So then it says on temporary shoes. So this wouldn't work to cut off the highway. So highways are a whole different ballgame. But everything else, and all the other the city streets, it would work for that. So he argues that Chazanishim, Russia doesn't like the Chazanishim, Russia disagrees with the Chazanishim.
So out of town, we're really kind of worse off than they are in town. How do you look at something like Arcola? I mean, like, what's called the city now? Like, so Arcola is Mefulish, Mishar, Lashar. In the greater Washington area, there are more than 600,000 people who theoretically could come onto Arcola. It curbs, so I guess if you're going to go with Rav...
Marsh would agree that if it curves, you got a problem.
Oh, so even according to Ramesh, Arcola is a Rosh Hashanah. So a Sephardi, if they made a local Erev on Arcola, I could carry on it?
Well, it depends. If you learn that this halacha is only by a walled city, so then the curve is irrelevant.
Right, so it goes back to the Grah.
It goes back to the Beis Yosef.
Okay, so the Grah is being Yotzei the Shulchan Aruch midei Pshuta. Meaning, because like, he does this, right? He takes a lot, I've heard that like, he does this. I'm not supposed to come to know this. No. I heard someone say that the girl Shita was that when the Chaber wrote the words, and in the Chaber he is Mefarish based on the words, doesn't really care what was said in Beis Yosef. Meaning,
I don't know if
it's called Shita or not. Adarabi, he takes the words of the Chaber, says that's the psalm, and he goes,
right? So the Chaber, the Maestro says, Ein Lahem, it's clearly going on the street, not in the house, not in the city.
Ooh, but when the Chaber is Beis Yosef, it brings a lot from Rashi.
I understand.
With the Rush's modification, right? That the Rush takes the word ear and puts in the word which is around him. And Pashas is the way we all learned Rashi, and that's what Chaber is doing, seemingly. Unless he had a drastic change from Beis Yosef when he wrote Shulchan Aruch.
No, the Rosh is saying that the language is going on the Rishus, not on the city. So the only time I require Mefulish is if the city, if the street has walls.
It doesn't have walls. Uh-huh.
So now, if you accept the Chazanish, Arcola has walls.
What walls are Arcola?
The house is functioning as well.
In Maruba, let's go. We could do a survey. I bet you're going to have more blank space than you have full space. No, and on the ends of it, also, it's open. It opens to Georgia and it opens to university.
We'll get them over Yalkum. I'll take my Arcola's over Yalkum. So I look at this part of Arcola. So I have to look at all the houses on this side, the houses, the towers, the yeshiva, right? Till I get to that bend. On this side.
I mean, whatever. We all there's only two walls. Only two walls. So,
what?
It ends at each end. What you can have.
Then now I have now it bends, right? So if there's a building there, that's the end of your street. Look at the other side.
Ooh.
I think both sides are in Aruba. So over here, I get to University Boulevard, and there's some forest. There's a house back here. So I don't know how far back you can go, but
by university.
Well, the trees count also.
University.
The trees count also. They must have
three talking
with each other,
right? It depends on how
thick it is. We haven't learned this yet, right? I mean, I'm saying,
but as far as I'm, the way the Chazanish is pointing out, Pasha's, this piece of Arcola is on Maruba.
So then you do have the din of a Chayma, and then you would need a Fulish from Charles Shar,
right.
And then if we made a local Arab, that Sephardi could carry.
It's according to Chazanish, it could carry. If Russia disagrees with the Chazanish's presentation, so then that wouldn't be true.
Are we going to come back to this inside more when we see more Gemaras?
Yeah.
I haven't seen enough.
There's a lot of information. I'm introducing the challenge of Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Not clarifying all the points. I'm just introducing some of the challenges.
But according to Chazanish, you need to have an ear? You need to have a Tzurus Pesach? Or Batsam it is Rosh Hashanah already?
It's a Midrash.
I understand that. So the Rabbanu with the Carmel, so we can use all the Tzurus Pesach to take care of that. That's great. But if it's Midrash, Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, the Carmel is not going to do the...
Right.
Most Sheetahs, right? The Tzurus Pesach is not going to do anything. There is a Sheetah that it's a real steam of Midrash, but like. right? It's not Mitzvot Pesach.
The Moshe does hold Mitzvot Pesach works Midrash.
That it can close down a rabbi?
Whether it can close down a Shasarab is a different argument.
You need Dwalsas Nulas Belilah.
Right. Let's say that Mitzvot Pesach is in the rice. Right? The Rambam says even a Lechi is in the rice. If I have an air which is three sided, and I put a Lechi there, the person tells you Shasarab inside, he's Chai. If I take a Lechi away, he's Pot. Even a Lechi is considered, Lechi Mishamachitza means Lechi is in the rice. If you have three sides, and there's a rabbim here, right? The person throws, in front of the rabbim, the person carries on throwing his pot. Puts a lechi there, he's tied.
Okay.
I mean, that's a shuddik.
Right.
You know, how does it work? Bershom said so. So, Moshe, this whole source of Pesach is considered in the rights that it says so. Whether it could work on his rabbim, that's a different issue.
I thought it was the whole thing in the Ginos, that's the Rosh over there, and Shin Samachay, there's a little Pardes and all the Carmelis, and I thought that was only a closure that was. Isn't that the Makor for the whole thing? There's some Gemara that's also like mixers both around the. We'll get there.
Okay.
All right.
Gentlemen.